Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for just all the ways that you've taken care of us. God, we lift up those who are sick at home. We know that COVID is going around and many are recovering still. Many have recovered. Some are just beginning their quarantine. So we lift our members and those who have been with us. God, you would bless them. You would bring healing and comfort during this time. God, we pray for your word that it would go and bring happiness, bring faith, bring courage. God, would you do that? In Jesus' name, amen. How many people in this room, and I would like to see a show of hands, and for those who are listening, you know, stream, you could raise your hand too, all right, because I'll see you, okay? All right, but anyway, how many want to be happy? Okay, there's some people in here who do not want to be happy, actually. There is nothing more like God. Let me say that. There is nothing more Christ-like than to be happy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There is nothing more like God, to be like God, than to be happy. And being happy is not a suggestion, by the way. It's a command. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Delight yourself. These are commands. And so sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that sometimes we think we want to be happy more than God wants us to be happy. And if you have children, don't you think that? Right? Amy? Angela? Kayla, right? Jeremy, did you ever think that you want to be more happy than your parents want you to be happy? And for all of us, all the adults who've grown up in this way, and Shane too, I forgot about Shane, right? But all of us, didn't we grow up at some point? You think your parents are getting in the way of your happiness. We all thought that. And sometimes we have to secretly do things because we want to be happy in a way that they would not understand. How many of us haven't been there? I would say, if you have never been there, then you probably are not normal in the way that you want to be happy. Sometimes I listen to country songs. Sometimes I love folk songs. And it almost seems like they want to be miserable. There's a joke, right? If you lost the dog and you want to get it back, you play country music backwards. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a satanic joke. But anyway, look. The point is, God wants us to be happy. And here's the thing. He wants us to be happy more than we want to be happy. It's true. But the reason why God sent Jesus Christ to earth as a carpenter to a lowly family is because God is making a statement. How many of us are in circumstances that you believe is not ideal for you to be happy? Your husband could be better. Your wife could be better. True? I mean, for everybody, it's true. Your children could be better. Your parents could be better. Your job could be better. Your school. I can go on, right? Your extended families. You find yourself that you're in a circumstance not ideal. Now, a God that created the universe, why, if God wants us to be happy, why didn't he create us in the land of Avi, in all the right circumstances. Why would he do that? Is he sadistic? What is going on? Why would he send his only beloved son into very unfavorable circumstance? And why would he choose, you know, his 12 disciples, all of them in very unfavorable circumstances? Very unfavorable. Living on a very unfavorable life. Why would God do that? Because here's one irrefutable fact, at least self-proclaimed in Scripture, and that is this. God is happy irrespective of his circumstances. What I mean by that is because the circumstances have a purpose. And sometimes the not so happy or the has this, it's like a building of a momentum. And for us, a capacity for a greater joy. Do you know what I'm saying? How many of you are one M&M at a time kind of person? How many people eat just one at a time? Okay. How many people eat two, three, you need a little bit more in your mouth? Okay. All right, a lot of us. How about if the M&M was a little speck, little dust? You ever see those M&M shreddings? You know, the shells are falling off. They've been banged around. You got this M&M dust at the bowl. And you had to collect one little speck, you know? Would you enjoy that? I wouldn't. God is up to something. Because happiness is of supreme importance to God. And you gotta understand that. God is like, don't you get it? I want you to be happy. What loving parent doesn't want their kids to be happy? The epiphany I had when I was walking, and I shared this with you, that midnight walk, trot, being worried about my children. You know, like feeling like, man, I didn't do well. Trot, and I was like, God is like, Henry, I've been a perfect father to you. And I was like, have I not been a perfect father? And we walk around as if God's not perfect. Seriously. We call him father, but like, you know what I mean? Like we envy and we're like bitter sometimes. We begrudge, like there's just this pent up something. Like what he's doing is gratuitous. Like meaningless, like random, like he's really not taking care of business. And you don't get it. You don't get it. That's why we're talking about this. I hope you're there. I hope you're like, that's where I am. Because I want to be happy. I hope that's where you're at. And that's why we're talking about the things we're talking about. It's like you listen and you think you know best about your own happiness. Here's what I say. I grant you, okay, for all the teenagers out there, I grant you that you think you know best about your own happiness. And it's one version of happiness. And that is, I need all the circumstances, all the right friends, all the coolness, all the reputation. I need these things. I need this setup, like a name recognition, maybe whatever it might be. Lots of friends. Like I gotta have that set up for me to be happy. Then I talk to a lot of guys, a lot of older people getting ready for retirement. They're worried that they're not gonna have a good retirement because maybe they don't have enough. You know? They're concerned. You know, they're going to be old, they're going to be frail, and they're not going to have enough. And I was like, why didn't God think of that? Isn't he God? I will tell you, God is God. And because he commands happiness, but he commands it irrespective of your circumstances, and he gives us a way. But here's one thing you're going to have to understand. In order to be happy, you have to be courageous. It's the truth. Because God has a prescription for happiness. God has a prescription for happiness. We don't believe him, though, actually. That's the scary part of this. If you actually believed what God says about happiness, because why are we spending so much time on emotions? Because happiness is an emotion. And there are other conflicting things dragging us down. And today we're going to talk about envy. You cannot be in society. You cannot get on Facebook. You cannot get on Instagram, right? You cannot and not have some issues with envy. All right, I want to go over something. Because the envy is a wrong emotion. It is an impediment. It is the hurdle. It'll block happiness. But what's more poisonous about envy? Because envy, think about what we said, emotions, okay, is base affection and a ruling mindset. Right? All affection has a direction. I can never in any sermon create a desire that does not exist. I can't. Through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I can try to affect, by the grace of God, how you think about something. Help you to realize that you do have this desire. That's what I can do. And if my audience, though, are believers who have desires from a new heart, from being a new creation, a new nature that God gave you. And so if you have that desire, I want to be happy. But I want to be happy in God. I want to be happy in God. Now, what envy says is, I want to be happy in my circumstances. Hear what I'm saying? Envy says, I want to be happy in my circumstances. Now, at some level, wanting to be happy in your circumstance is actually natural. It's natural. Now, but see, think about the ego. It doesn't work that way. If I don't have that circumstance, remember that baby video? For many of you that watched that baby video? Wait, whoa. A baby has a preference for like a Cheerio over a graham cracker. And some other teddy bear, right, doesn't like what I like. That baby wants to punish that teddy bear. Physical violence. Okay? You got what I don't got? Okay? Little Henry's got some feelings about that. Okay? Now, if you don't understand that, if you identify with that little, you name it, could be little Chris, could be little Andrew, little. It's little because it's a parasite that is still a part of you, a remnant, a sinful nature that God has not removed from you. Now, in the midst of that, what I'm trying to tell you is there's a desire, a far greater, but it's a still voice though. But it has a direction. It has a direction, and we're going to talk about that. Because that other parasitic desire of the human flesh will drive you and drive your entire life on dependence on things, substances, money, essentially your circumstances and situations. It'll drive you away from God, away from people, and towards things, towards better circumstances. Now, if God's version of happiness was that, Jesus would have come down full of his glory, and to all of his disciples, he could have said, just, hey, here's everything. God didn't do that. Because to make a people who's patient, right, who's forgiving, who's humble, long-suffering, giving, serving, these are the things that make people happy. And that is a nature that we don't, you know, we haven't matured. But even as I speak, some of you will go, I want that. I want that. And some of you will like, I don't know. You could go down that path. You can go down that path chasing the dragon. It'd be like taking drugs. Okay? Only to find out, you know, like some 62-year-old actress or actor, you know, after all the wrinkles, when the money, you know, you can only eat so much before you get really unhealthy. You can only go to so many places before they're all really boring. It's true. And we envy that. If I was only pretty like that, they all get old. If I had a house like that, they'll still get bored. You don't believe it, though. You somehow think that that's a version of happiness. It's an illusion. We see people like that, and they're not happy. Because those people are also coming into my hospitals, right? Unhappy. I work for hospitals, you know, who are amazing surgeons and directors and chiefs, unhappy. You would think. And we want our children to be impersonal and accomplish and lead to unhappiness. And we don't teach them. We're not a good example of happiness either. We think we can love our child and not be an example of happiness. Are you kidding me? If you want to raise children, you got to be an example of happiness. You know why? But that's exactly how Jesus was to his disciples. Trying to show them. This is what it means to be happy in these kinds of unfavorable circumstances. Because what we have is far greater than what you think you'll have. Okay? In circumstances. All right. What is envy? Think desire. When you get envy, all right, you got to realize desires have direction. Direction. Is that emotion leading me towards people, God? Is it leading me to faithfulness, or is it getting me focused on circumstances? Direction. And then what's your mindset about that? Do you even catch yourself being envious? Like, do you even like struggle with it, actually? Do you know it's wrong? Like wrong. Here's the definition. What is it? Envy. It's a state of ill will towards someone because of some real or presumed advantage experienced by such a person. Ill will. Like Psalms and Proverbs, they kind of... Don't be envious of evildoers. Here's what God is trying to say, actually. Why are you so envious of people who could only be happy in the right circumstances? And they're not even that happy, actually. They're really not. You know, how many rock stars and famous people are just like, they kill themselves over drugs, they're drunks, they're constantly checking into rehab, and we still understand. So these influencers, they want to stop TikTok influencers, they're dying all the time. You know, it's like we have this illusion, this fantasy that these are actually happy people. But needless to say, why do we envy people that can only be happy when And here's it. It's a dynamic picture. They can only be happy if the circumstance was right. But the problem is that right circumstance that they got, the fame and all that, it just becomes boring. It doesn't, it's a fake promise. But anyways, Mark 15:8, let's read. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he asked them, saying, which was once a year, he released the people, like one person that the people said, release this person. And Pilate was like, okay, see how generous I am? I'm going to release that person. So it was that time of the year. And he asked them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? Because Jesus was causing such a ruckus. For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. Jesus was crucified. Scripture is depicting the state of mind, and here's a state of emotion of these spiritual people. You think spiritual people have an exemption for envy? Pastors struggle with envy, actually. You know? Somebody got a bigger church. Somebody's getting more compliments. Took me a while. Henry, you know, I was listening to this other pastor. You know, it was amazing. Yeah. Okay. You know, I was listening to like Desiring God app, you know. You know, I got stuff online too. But I'm just saying, it's like, it took a while. Like, I loved it. It took a while before I was like, you know what? Like, I'm happy. Like, I'm happy being Henry. And here's the thing. The freedom that we have in Christ, and here's it. It's not like, oh, I just became like that. No, it was a fight. It was a fight. You know what it was in my mind? It was a fight. It's enough to be me. And my circumstances are enough. Wow, I said it. Like, there's not a version of my life that's better than what I am right now. Can you believe that? That God has created you perfectly. Not outgoing, not popular. Just the way you are. With the right amount of circumstances, so you could delight in the Lord. And you don't need more. Be careful of wanting more, by the way. Because the Bible talks about that all the time. It's hard to manage, but you don't know my husband. You know, I say this, you know, I think I've shared this before when I talk to, you know, about my dad, you know. I was talking to my, for those who haven't heard this example, I was talking to my, you know, stepmom, you know, after my mom passed, he got remarried. You know, my dad's my dad, you know? And she's called, you know, she's obviously livid, furious at the way that my dad is, and that is my dad. You know? But she has faith, you know? She has faith. I said, look, I'm feeling you. It's the way I grew up. But I look back now, I said to her, I look back now, this is what I see of my dad, okay? I said, one thing my dad will do, okay, he will drive you to Jesus. Now, many of us had dads, or maybe you didn't have dads that drove you to Jesus. I'm very careful, okay, thinking that I did a better job driving my children to Jesus than my dad. You know why? Because God is my father. God is my father. And God is the father of my children. And here's the thing. God has no grandchildren. God does not have grandchildren. And it's okay. People, it's okay that God's used your dad to drive you to Jesus. Doesn't make what they did okay, right? But God had never stopped loving you. And he never forsook you. He was all, but we're here. Part of it, maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your child that's driving you to Jesus. But I want you to understand something. God is perfect. You're never going to do a better job than God in being a parent. And no amount of good work that you do is ever going to outperform what God does if God was your child's father. We don't have to begrudge our circumstances. And that's what I'm saying. Do I really want fame? Do I really want notoriety, you know, like popularity? Do I want that? Do I want this? I want what God wants for me. And I got to think like that. Not because I got to, because it's the truth. Then you're going to want all the right things for your children. If you don't want that for yourself, if you're not happy, if you're not a happy person, you're going to have miserable children. I promise you that. If you're a complaining, begrudging person, you're going to ultimately end up, okay, having unhappy people. And people around you are not going to be happy because it's infectious. So now, why such a depressing? Because it is something that we have to come to grips with. I'm an unhappy person. I begrudge people. I constantly think about the wrong that was done me. I constantly envy people. Like, this is a cycle. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm envious. So why deal with envy? Galatians 5:19-21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, which is us like a cousin to envy. We don't have time to talk about it today, maybe some other time. Outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy. Envy. There's not a good form of envy. There's a good form of jealousy. God is a jealous God because jealousy is about things that you own. It's okay to be jealous, okay, if your wife goes on a date with her ex-boyfriend, okay? It's okay to be jealous. It's never okay to be envious. Things which I am telling you in advance, just as I said before, that the ones who practice such things, the ones who are okay with constantly being envious, who's now settled into I'm envious. That's just the way it is. Just like, you know, like porn. Like, no, that's just the way it is. This is my life. You're a practicer of those things now. You know what I mean? Like you're good. I'm good. You know what I mean? You know, I'm good with strife. I'm an angry person. You know? I push people off. I'm a little distant. I'm okay. I like that. I don't want to change. You don't want to be happy then. You don't want to be happy. You don't want to be happy. You say you want to be happy, but you're not willing to do what it takes to be happy. See, there's a desire in us that says, I want to be happy and I want to do what it takes to be happy. You're in the arena now. All right, you're on that journey. There's a path. You have a desire for that. Because such things will not, the ones who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, the law of the kingdom moves you towards people. Because the laws are relational. And it moves you towards God. There's never a time when something is moving you towards God, but away from people. I've met people like that. Super spiritual, by the way. Super spiritual. They listen to stuff all the time. Spiritual things online all the time. Not very relational, though. And granted, I bet you know a lot of people like that. They're not kingdom people, by the way. Or let me put it this way. They're not kingdom-minded. Okay? Here's the takeaway. Overcoming envy is a matter of what? What did we just read? Why is it important? Because overcoming envy is a matter of heaven or hell. Like, I'm interested. I love it when Nate comes up here and he's telling you about all of his struggles with envy. I love the honesty. You know, in these circumstances, he's in the arena. If you're not talking, because he's saying out loud what a lot of you guys are just going through inside. Because it's a matter of heaven or hell. You gotta, like, I care about that. Like, I don't want to be that person. I want to be the person that is happy for people. And also, I don't want to be happy for people because they're in the right circumstances, and that's the only way they're going to be happy. Because if you can imagine, if that person lost their job, lost their house, you know what I'm saying? Lost their good looks. Are they going to be happy? Why would you envy people if you think, no, they wouldn't be happy? Why would you envy them? How about you? If you lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your good looks. There's a lot of good-looking people out here. All right, how do we overcome envy? Got 4 points here. Important points. All right, 4. Try to make it simple. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. What does that mean? People, don't think you're the expert on how to be happy for yourself. See, when you're a teenager, because I was a teenager, and I thought I was the expert on my own happiness. And I would venture to say that many of you think you're like experts on your own happiness. Like, this was what it would take to make me happy. I'm not asking for much. No. Humble yourself enough to say, not the expert on my own happiness. God knows better than me. His word is going to guide me towards happiness. Because I'm not the expert. You know, getting away with things, having private thoughts, you know, manipulating situations, you know, like, I'm the expert. Okay. Okay. You really think that? You want to continue not being happy then? Trust in the Lord. It says, befriend faithfulness. How about we try it God's way? How about that? That's what this is saying. Hey, your way doesn't work. It's circumstantial. And here's the thing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. I love the Spider-Man line. If you need the suit, you can't have the suit. Right? The Iron Man. Like, he made Spider-Man a suit. The Spider-Man suit. Right? Yeah, I'm not sure why I did that. Yeah, but he was dependent on the suit. And he says, if you need the suit, then you can't have it. He says, I'm nothing without the suit. If you're nothing without your job, if you're nothing without this, if you're nothing without your level of standard of life, standard of living, if you're nothing, then you can't have it. Anybody watching Danny McPhee? Nobody. Watching Danny McPhee. All right, one of the quotes, one of the lines in that movie. If you don't want me, but need me, I will stay. But if you want me, but don't need me, then I must go. Now, God's not like that, by the way. All right. That's just Nanny McPhee. All right. All right. But the point is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, and here's the thing. That doesn't mean listen to more Christian music, folks. Delight yourself in your circumstance, in the circumstance that God has given you, because he's perfect. And leverage your circumstance. Learn to forgive, right? Learn not to look at other people's circumstances, because truth be told, all of them, I would say, probably in your realm, almost all of them, if they didn't have that, they didn't have the looks, they didn't have the money, they didn't have this and that, they'd probably be miserable people. And why would you envy them? Why would you envy them? Why? Do you think that's what God is up to? You think this is all about some big, big Disney World? So that's not going to Disney World. Just saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in His way. You know? His prescription. Because He's not holding things back. He wants to lavish you, actually. But you know what? That's nothing, though. Like, we're not here because there will be the rest of eternity to be lavished. But the point is, do you as parents, if you were, or imagine if you became a parent, do you really want to lavish spoiled children? Do you? Do you want to lavish children that must have the next toy? That must have this, that they're going to be happy? And then grumble and have attitude for the rest of the year because they didn't get what they wanted? That's us. That's us, actually. Believe me, that's us. That's you. That's you. That's you. You need those things. And that's why God can't give it to you. Would you be any different as a parent? If your child needed that toy, would you get it for him? Or else he would have an attitude for the rest of the year? Some of you would, actually. You know, to make peace in the house. And that's a sad situation, because many parents do that. Just give them the iPod. Get out of my hair. Here's an iPod. iPad. I'm dating myself now. The only way to drive out envy is to what? Go out of your way and move what? Towards them, predicting that it's better. The only way to drive out envy is to go out of your way and move towards. If you envy somebody at work, take them out to lunch, talk to them, and you're going to figure out within a short period of time, without those things, they're not really going to be happy. Get to know them. Move towards them. Actually minister to them. Right? Minister to them. Because they're nothing without those things. But, you know what I mean? But a lot of times, they're smug about it. They're arrogant about it. You know? But you know, without that wonderful wife, without that wonderful husband, without that money, without this, you know, you name it. They're like, I'm unhappy. I don't know how to be happy. Well, what's God's prescription for happiness then? We'll dive into that a little bit more. All right, James 4:1-3. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. We looked at last week, right? Desire has a direction. Covetousness, envy has a direction. What does it say? You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you asked wrongly to spend it on your passions. You know what God can't? What is it saying? God's not going to give you something to feed your ego. God cannot give you something so that you can feed your ego, to make you feel more important, right, in the eyes of the world. But that's what we want. And that's some of that prosperity gospel nonsense that's going on. You know, like God is in the business of spoiling His children. God never spoils His children. I can promise you that. He's not. We ask wrongly because we want it. Why do you want? Be careful when you want things. You know, you want, because then you got to think, okay, well, how's that fit into the kingdom scheme of things? Now you got to wrestle with that. You know, having people over, messing things up. Yeah. Because God didn't just give it for you. Okay, here's the second point. To have something that someone else has is a matter of what? What did we just read? It's a matter of asking according to what? God's will. Ask. Nothing wrong, no harm. God, can you give me a single family home? If you will, if you will. God, can you give me a nicer car? You know, I'm breaking down all the time. Can you give me a better car? Ask. And you know what? Often, he answers you. It's amazing. He loves you. You know, just ask. Ask. He knows. Nobody's saying people only want things because you're spoiled. You know, God loves it when you ask. But there's kind of a humility in asking, isn't there? Because sometimes our children come and they ask you for things. And if you haven't had teenagers yet, okay, trust me. Because this is what, you know. They're not asking. They're demanding. They're demanding. Hey, do you think you can get, you know, like, yeah, but you know, but my friends have it. And, you know, didn't ask, did they? Maybe you're like that. According to God's will. Because what you're saying is, God, if you're not providing, you know better than I know. There's a level of humility. To have something that someone else has is a matter of asking, but according to the will of God. Matthew 6:3. Here's another principle, the third point. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And where do you think we're going with that? All right, let me key you in. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What happens if you don't follow the Spirit? If you're not walking in the kingdom way, moving towards people, doing what God is saying, forgiving people, delighting yourself in God, delighting yourself in serving, you're provoking envy. There's more provoking of envy at churches than I can imagine. I think many of you know what I'm talking about. Those sermons that they preach on that parking lot with those Maseratis and, you know, Benz and all that, they're very powerful sermons. Powerful. Nobody said a word, but you're like, you know? Follow. Number three, here's the point that comes from that. Prioritize what? The kingdom. Means if you prioritize rich relationships, that's what kingdom means. Kingdom laws is relational. You know what I'm saying? There's only so much church you can take, honestly. I know it's hard. Folks, I know it's hard. Delta and home group every week. I know. And I'm like, I was like advocating for it. And I'm like, oh, is it already Friday? You know what I mean? Many times I was thinking that. Many times. And many times I said, God, thy will be done. Many times. You know better than I do. Whatever it is. Many times. Why? Because we're so surprised that this life takes us to the edge of our natural existence. Many times God is saying, hey, you know, when you're hurt, what did I say? Every time we're hurt, right? Our ego is also wounded. Here's the thing. That wounded ego, it got injured, got hurt. It's got to die, actually. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. All right? So many things happen in life where your ego is wounded. And we think that's such a negative thing. Here's the thing. It's not. Got to crucify it, actually. Right? Crucify it. But I'm afraid to let myself crucify it. But I don't want people to know. Look, it's okay. It's okay to be authentic. It's okay for people to view you, okay, as you are. Prioritize, because when we say, hey, this is really important, it's the beginning of delighting in God. Prioritizing the kingdom means that God, you can ask for things. And God will listen, because he's going to work with you. You know? It's like your child. Hey, Dad, what do you think, man? You know? You get me a car, you know? I could use that, you know? Drive some people around, you know? Go and pick up some people, you know? Do some things with that car. You know? And I mean, I also, you know, like, have some benefits for myself as well. But what do you think I'm going to say? It's a big heart, right? Maybe I need to give you a car. You know? But if that child goes, yeah, but you know, but if I got the BMW, right? The M whatever series, boy, I would really feel good about picking up that person. You're not getting that car. You're not ready for that car. First Corinthians, okay? It's the last point. 1 Corinthians 3:21. So let no one boast in men. Don't be dropping names like you're important. Basically, this whole verse is about self-importance. For all things are yours. You don't need to try to boost your reputation. Okay? Trying to let people know, hey, you know, me and Piper, like this. You know, I was over there having dinner the other day. You know, or that other person, you know, like, you don't need any of it. What Paul's saying, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. You're a child of God. Everything is yours. All that I have is yours. And if you don't have it, it's not because it's not yours. Because right now, you don't need it. You don't need it. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let that sink in, man. Everything is mine. Everything. Here's the thing, and I am Christ's. And you cannot be any wealthier than you are right now if you have Christ. As a basis to erase envy from your life. Now, if that's not enough for you, your problem is not wanting, having things. Your problem is unbelief. Your problem when you have a problem with envy is not the situation. Your problem is unbelief. And maybe, your problem may be you're not Christ's, and you don't feel love like that. But the wonderful news is that's okay, because it's just a matter of prayer and a commitment to walk the way. I love that. I love that happiness really is a prayer away. Luke 22:19, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Why is Jesus saying that? Hey, can you remember how much I love you? Can you remember that? And every time I feel like you're missing out on some things. Maybe your life has been shortchanged. Maybe you didn't get the look. You didn't get the smarts. You didn't get the money. You didn't get that job. And somehow you're thinking, You know, in the back of your mind, you don't want to say it out loud. Maybe God shortchanged you. In that moment, Jesus is saying, look, I poured out my life for you. What is God saying in Romans 8? If I gave you my son, would I hold anything back from you? Would I not give you all good things? That's what God is saying. Would I not give, if I gave you my son, would I not give you all good things? He would. Because he loves you. And if he isn't right now, it's not because he doesn't love you. Because you don't need it. This is a precious time where we get to learn how to be happy. You know? Look, I don't know why we have the lives that we have. But I can promise you this. Whatever your life presents to you, whatever it is, if you have God, it'll all drive you to Jesus. It'll all drive you to Jesus. And you'll just be better for it. And I want you to go, man, I'm content. Like, I can trust him. And when my mind is going and my emotions are like making me feel like maybe I'm not as, you know, as the other guy. Don't compare yourself to people who has to have that suit, has to have that money, has to have that spouse, has to have. Don't envy yourself with people like that. You know, don't. Why would you? Why would you? Because if you lost all that, and you see it too, you know? Stars who lost all their money, stars who have lost their looks. It's a sad situation. Sad. Sad, actually. And you can feel that way. You can know it's all going to go away, folks. It's all going to go away. Can't take it with you either. Good news. Yeah? You know, I don't have to take this with me either. Right? Good news. Constantly, last point, constantly remember and talk about your true what? Wealth in Christ. And he loves me. The King of the universe, the Lord of creation, personally loves me and thought of me when he hung on that cross and broke his body. He thought of you. He thought of you. I'm doing this for you. But whatever wrath you're going to receive, I'm going to take it. So that you could have a different life. Take that to the bank. Seriously. What more could you honestly ask for? So that all of this could mean something. Mean something. And we're so busy trying to hold on, you know, spinning our minds all night, worrying that God might not take care of us. And you can just say, stop. Just say, stop. Stop with the madness. Stop. Of course he's taking care of me. Of course he loves me. Right? Of course God. He gave us his son. He broke his body. He loves you. And he'll never forsake you. And just take that to the bank. Take it to the bank. Right? And let envy dissolve. Move towards them. Those people who envy. You know what I mean? Move towards them. And be happy. Actually, don't be happy for their circumstances, right? But, you know, but if it's another person in the church, you know, just be happy for yourself, actually. Just be happy. Just look, there's nothing you can do to improve your situation because it doesn't need to be improved. There's nothing you can do to improve your situation. If you're in Christ, nothing needs to be improved. What I'm saying is, there's nothing that you have to be worried about. And you can always, obviously, try to improve your life. You can ask God to improve your circumstances. I'm talking about in of yourself. We don't have to try to want things as if God's holding back on you. All right, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Just, I don't want to just lose touch, God. Just lose the center of the gospel where you say that you have broken, God, yourself for me, that you remember me, and that you know the number of hairs on my head. And God, you personally know me. There's nothing richer than that. And so, God, would you help us to trust you, to follow in your footsteps, to move towards you, move towards others. Would you give us humility and courage, God, to go out of our way and move towards, God, others. In Jesus' name, amen.